Everybody.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
I am Pastor Stephanie Page, and this is
Jonathan Lee Page.
And we are the Pages Speak. Listen, this evening we are excited. Woo! We have our people online tonight. Tonight we are so happy to have Abra and Nasser Martin. Ahmed. Let me get that right. Ahmed.
And in Spanish, in Spanish, it's Martinez.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, we are so excited to have them on as we talk about the marriage that survives devastation. Woo! Okay, now.
Woo!
And many times in, as we do marriage coaching, and we do marriage counseling, premarital coaching and counseling, we often talk to people about what is their deal breaker. What is that thing that, you know, if it happens, you're done. You know, that's it. I'm walking out. We ain't dealing with this no more. Bye, deuces. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And very, very often, the number one thing that we hear is infidelity. Yeah.
Sometimes if you brush your teeth too much, it might be a deal breaker. I'm joking.
But yeah, you hear some stuff, but the more
breath might
any stuff be the deal breaker.
Sometimes.
You made a peanut butter jelly sandwich with not enough jelly on it.
You used all my jelly. That's it. I'm done with you. I'm out. That's it. Over. But oftentimes the deal breaker is infidelity. And we would often ask, you know, is this something that you can get over? Even, you know, in the Bible, you know, they tell you, you know, listen, you know, the only out you really have is, you know, infidelity. Then, okay, we can give you an out in regards to, you know, we'll be okay if you were divorced. Right. But that's something that most people have on their list. Like, that's the only thing that you can't really deal with.
Right.
And today we're going to be talking to the Ahmeds. And I want you to give us a brief description. I'm gonna tell you what I know. Let me tell you what I know. Okay. These are my people. Okay, so they are the pastors of Living Kingdom United Millennial Church. I get that right? Okay, in Arizona. And they just had their 1-year anniversary. Congratulations. So proud of you guys and this journey and everything you're doing. I'm just like, so proud.
Y'all made it. Y'all should have been like running. Woo, like,
people just don't know. Pastor is not no walk in the park, y'all.
Don't
be playing. Anyway, shout out, big ups to all the pastors out there. All y'all doing that work, because that's a work.
That's a real work.
Amen. Anyway, but we just want to hear, you know, about you all's journey. So tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Amen. Well, I'm Pastor Nasser, and this is Pastor Abra. And, you know, we're really thankful for the Pages. You know, we're thankful for not only are they my kinfolk, this is my cousin. And I just, you know, I want to just say that the Spirit of the Lord has been over this family since its inception. We've always been workers. We've always been servants of the kingdom. And literally, you know, for us to have made it 17 years in marriage and 1 year in ministry as pastors, you know, we can't take enough. We can't take anything away from giving God all the glory, honor, and praise for that. I think our story started when we were 16 and 17 years old. I had just moved to Middletown, Ohio, and I went to a football game. And this beautiful young lady was probably about 3 or 4 people in front of me, and I kind of walked up behind her because she was with a friend that I had known. And I looked at her. I didn't know her from a can of paint. And I said, hey, girl, let me get a dollar. And she looked at me and she said, I ain't giving you no money. And she ain't gave me no money ever since.
Right.
So literally, we became friends, you know, high school, which blossomed into us by our junior/senior year, fell in love, and we actually started dating. And as I ran track in high school, and she was the statistician, so she wouldn't let me go nowhere by myself. And literally, when she went to college, I went to the Air Force, and you know, something just told me that she was too good to just leave behind, and I grabbed her up and said, "Come on this journey with me," and we got married when we were 19 and 20 years old.
Okay.
Come on now.
Keep going.
Oh, amen. well, once we got married, I'm like, so what? Where are we going in the story? Here we go. So 1920, at this point, both of our mothers have passed. Mm-hmm. So he had a chance to meet my mom and, you know, get to know her. And then my mother passed, you know, I guess maybe a year in.
Yeah.
Year in or so. And so we both had something more in common at this point. So the journey of us getting married early and then going into the military kind of came from some devastation happening and me just wanting to have something that I knew was close to me and love. And I felt as if, you know what, he's been my best friend and I know he's going to take care of me and we could do this. So we jumped on that dream, you know, the dream, we took it. So we, you know, we had a wedding and everything. We moved to Texas. So that was the first, you know, step of the journey. So we were in Texas.
Now, what I also want to point out is that this is also the woman who introduced me to Christ for myself. Her father walked me through salvation in a green Toyota Corolla. And this was at 16 years old. Mm. And then I was baptized at 18 years old. And so literally also too, when we joined the service, it was during the second Gulf War, which was in 2003. Mm-hmm. So I'm also a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. So being a young family, immediately almost pretty much getting married. And when we first got to Texas, the first thing we did, as soon as she got off of the bus or wherever, I picked her from the train station or wherever it was, the first thing we did was go to Bible study.
Amen.
So shout out.
So real quick though, what is your, just give the audience a real brief, what was your religious history?
So I grew up Muslim and literally, so where I always tell people all the time, I followed the religion of my mother and my father until I had an encounter with Christ. But the funny part about this was, my whole family, if I told you guys, you know, Stephanie is my cousin, my blood cousin, that's my kin, my DNA right there, right? And literally our whole family came from a long line of preachers, teachers, evangelists, church workers, servants, church builders on one side. And then on my mama's side, they was all gangsters. And, you know, even my father. And my father was an ordained minister at 25. And we laughed because I said, or Arizona did him in because he went to some yoga institute in the 70s and then he accepted Islam. And that's pretty much how the course changed. But I'm thankful that I grew up in the understanding of a different religion. It allowed me to learn people of the world, have a universal understanding. And it put me in a position to know Christ for myself when I got older. And you know, the support of my family, the support of my grandmother, my Aunt Cookie, and, you know, everybody just putting me in a position. And even, you know, Stephanie and John, you know, you guys, not only did you validate the calling on my life, but you honored the calling on my life and you nurtured the calling on our life. So, you know, when you start somewhere, where you start is not where you finish. And, you know, one thing that we've learned above anything is God is God all by himself, and it's truly about the development of your personal relationship. And what it was for me was that I could not identify with the institution of Islam based on a lot of things that happened in my life as a youth. And when I actually met her father, I met my bishop, Samuel Roy Johnson Sr. They were godly men. They were taking care of their family. It was just a different aspect to see. Now, after I got saved and baptized, you know, I realized men are men and everybody make mistakes. So you learn, you know, going down the road on, you know, what it is. But that's why it had to be a personal relationship that had to be developed. And I'm grateful for taking that journey.
Amen. So in your journey, there was a devastation, something that really shook you too and threatened to throw this beautiful union off track. Tell us about that.
Amen. So, as we said, you know, we made it to Texas. Life comes, and we didn't have any children at the time, but a year in, we conceived. We were like, "Oh, we're pregnant. We're going to have our first baby." Amen. So we went on with that. He went on to his first deployment, I want to say. So that was rough, you know. We're like, okay, we've got a baby that's literally getting ready to be born and you're headed out. So that was the first thing. First thing that we were trying to deal with. How does that look? How does this work? And there's no family around other than the family that we have now created or we have come together with in Texas. Mm-hmm. So he left, he came back, and we ended up going into, I guess, about year two, because that's when the Naima time frame, right? Because it's the same time. We ended up.
I feel like she's leaving stuff out, y'all.
Well, what?
So this is what happened.
Okay.
Listen. So what happened? I came home while I was on deployment. Okay. I received the Holy Ghost because I need people to understand why we're saying what we're saying. I received the Holy Ghost, and when I came home on fire for the Lord. We were evangelizing at malls. We were at church. We stopped listening to secular music. When I tell you we was locked in, and we were 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. And literally, we understand that when you make that kind of declaration, we know the enemy is getting ready to come, not only for your relationship, any way that he can get in. I had just met my daughter. She was 6 months years old. And when I came home, she was a year. So we had all that time that we had separated and that we had missed. When I came home, literally, we took in a family member to come and live with us. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in those situations, it's probably not always the best thing to do when you're young and married, because now you have a situation where you're taking care of multiple people and maybe you're not paying attention to what's going on at home. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what happened after that was there was a disconnect between me and her, and there was a situation where me and her were not connecting spiritually, we weren't connected physically, we're connected emotionally, and it was more like we were just here paying bills. Amen. Mm-hmm. So from there, it pretty much put me in a situation where
he was going out all the time. I was at home. I couldn't really do much. I had the baby. I had the family members. Family members had kids as well. So we were all at home. You know, I didn't think too much of anything. I was trying to, you know, at this time, at those young years, you know, you're like, I'm I spy. What's going on? Let me find out. So I'm all over the place. I'm trying to find every little thing.
She chasing me up in clubs.
I'm in Facebook. I'm in all types of things. It's the early years of Facebook. So I'm all over the place trying to figure out what is going on. Mm-hmm. Because he's not home. So that leads me on to where I find out that there is another woman. Mm-hmm. Now, I have many options on what I could do as far as this. But I want to say the first thing was I began to pray. Mm-hmm. And I sought godly counsel. I didn't just go off on my own. I didn't start calling my girlfriends like, hey, this is what's going on. I knew instantly that I needed more than what I could just do on my own. So I had several godly women. So this is, you know, big shout out to a few of my aunties, our pastor, elder, Dr. Johnson. She helped me out then. And then I also had the few pastor ladies that were with us in Del Rio, Texas. So it was about four of them. And, you know, this is at the time where I'm reaching out to them and they're coaching me. They're telling me, hey, this is what you're going to need to do. You need to pray. They were giving me scriptures and go and so forth. And at no time did any of these women of God say, leave your husband. Just leave him. You know, if you know he's cheating and this is for sure, leave. None of that was ever said. It was always, right now, you need to be praying and you need to be listening to what God is going to tell you. Now, at 23, what do you really do with that? You're like, amen. How do I listen? I don't know. But I want to say I had a strong foundation in, you know, the things of God, and I had an outlet. For me, it was praise dance. So my outlet was, you know, I'm going to continue to do what God has always, what he's gifted me, and I'm going to put that, my energy into that, and then in some way, something, that's where I was, something, I'm going to do this though. So I praised dance.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to take it a little deeper, because at the time that she found out that I was having an affair, she also had found out that she was pregnant. And not only was she pregnant, but the individual who I was involved with was pregnant as well.
Yeah, so that was a heavy hitter.
She was actually got sick and she was in the hospital. And if it's one thing I couldn't do, you know, I could hide my phone, I could, you know, do certain things. But when she asked me like direct questions, I couldn't just lie to her. And at that time, we were still going to church. We were still serving. We were still tired. We put that mask on and we just went and did what we believed that we needed to do, because we understood that, you know, we still had the relationship. And with us, you know, we were there for better or for worse. Amen. Mm-hmm. It was no, divorce was not an option. But in that moment, we're at the hospital. She looks at me, she's sick. And she asked me, you know, are you cheating on me? And I told her, yeah. And I mean, she stood straight up in the bed. She punched me in my face and she said, you need to keep your stuff in your pants and you need to take care of your family. And literally from there, like a few weeks later, I ended up leaving because I got another set of orders and I went off to Korea and she's left alone again.
Amen. Yeah, so this was, again, me just trying to decide and figure out how do these pieces work together. I can definitely say that my walk with Christ grew more. So this is where I didn't decide to like leave the church or not gain more understanding. I stayed and I worked and, you know, I prayed and I cried. And I prayed some more and I cried more. But this is where I took the choice to say, God is going to deliver this situation. He's going to, you see what I'm saying? So I knew that because I knew that and I had been praying and I did hear from him. I heard from him, you know, because at this point I started asking, Lord, I need to know, what am I doing? What do you want me to do? And as clear as day, I tell him this all the time. It was as clear as day. He said, the man that he is right now is not who he's going to be later. You need to stay. And I said, okay. At 23.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Now,
a quick question. I have a quick question for you, real quick. Real quick. So, Nas, I have to ask you, what was your mental and spiritual state when you were going through the infidelity? What was going on in your mind? What was going on?
So a couple of things. You know, when you actually start piecing and naming things within yourself, I think with me spiritually, it was, I'm not going to sacrifice my relationship with God, but I know I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mentally, it was a situation of feeling like always wanting to point the finger at her. Well, we not having sex enough. My house ain't clean. Well, you're not taking care of me or you're not listening to me or all of these things that I felt was her fault. But the reason why she was not connecting with me was because I was not aligned with the things of God and she wasn't following no fool. So where you have that situation, you have anger, you have resentment, you have, and then being somebody that is literally home 6 months and then gone 6 months, put in war zones, don't know if you the day you're waking up is your last day. You start to develop some things within yourself mentally where you start living every day, like what they call that, YOLO. Well, yeah, YOLO will get you no-no and get you in trouble. So literally, I was living my life really fast. I was doing a lot of things, even within the military, that I had no business doing. And I'm living that life because I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring, you know. And when I, but at the same time, you know, I'm the first person at the church. I'm the last person to leave the church. It was a straddling fence method thing because, you know, even my old pastor used to say all the time, you know, I used to think in my head that if I did wrong, I knew how to do wrong right. You know, if I was my hustle money, you know, I'm tithing my hustle money. I'm doing what I'm supposed, what I think I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not taking care of the gift that he had given me. Come on, and I'm not nurturing it. I'm not raising it. I'm not doing anything. But what I am doing is finding ways to get away from her, finding ways to put myself in a position where I'm isolated. And if I'm isolated, I have idle thoughts. And if I have idle thoughts, then I'm thinking with an idle mind. And I'm not leaning to my own understanding. Well, matter of fact, I'm leaning to my own understanding. And because of that, I'm making decisions outside of God's will. So mentally, I also was dealing with, you know, the effects of combat. The effects of, you know, being, you know, working in prisons and dead body details and unexploded ordnances that, you know, they're sending my team out to go. And so I've got all this stuff on my mind. I got a wife, two kids, and another baby coming. And how am I going to deal with this? Is this woman going to leave me? And got to a certain point where I said, you know, I ain't nothing. Just go on ahead and leave me. Because I ain't going to get this right. I'm always going to be messed up. And I can remember being on the phone just telling this woman just to leave me, and she just began to start to pray. I literally married a unicorn. I just want all y'all to know that.
Amen. Amen. Well, it says open rebuke is better than secret love. So we're on the phone, and I knew what spirit was coming across that phone line.
Come on now. Wave
from way over in Korea. I knew what he was dealing with. I knew the time difference. I knew the partying, but I had to block that. I had to block it because God told me what he told me. And one day I was in the bed and I said, well, Lord, I don't know how to really just study so much. So what do? I said, well, I'm just going to open up the Bible. So I just opened up the Bible, whoop, opened it up. And the scripture that I opened up to and has, it carried me for those next couple years was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I said, he said, make you lay down in green pastures. I knew at this point that I was continued, that he was carrying me, that I was going to be okay. And he told me, you know, keep praying. And so that's what I did. When he called me, I prayed for him. When he was talking crazy, I said, you know what? I rebuke you, this devil. Because I knew it was a devil. I knew it was a spirit. I knew it wasn't him. And I told him to his face, I'm on the phone, like, this is not you. So I'm not listening. And I'm praying for you right now in the name of Jesus. And this is what, but these are the things that people, when they ask you, and they're like, how did you get through?
Come on.
And you say, I prayed. They're like, really? Yeah. No, yes. Yes. I
you
prayed.
You prayed. Well, and you also believed the word of God to you.
Yeah.
God made you a promise.
Yeah.
And you believed his promise. Mm. When he said to you, the man he is now is not always going to be who he is, you're like, okay, I'm going to ride this out then. I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to stay on this ride. We're going to ride it all the way through until what God said comes to pass. See, the thing is, many times God gives us promises. He'll tell us what the end is. But unless we believe it, and if we lean on what we think and what we feel, we'll get off the ride and we'll miss the prize at the end. And see, the prize at the end is this marriage that remained, this marriage that survived the devastation, this marriage
is fruitful.
That is fruitful.
It's fruit that
okay, because I could just stay here all day. We only got so much time. Okay, so I wholeheartedly, I always stand, it's like you were saying, the scripture that takes you through or took you through was Psalms 23. And the scripture that has taken me through everything in my life is all things work together for good for those that love the Lord, the called according to his purpose. I always say, Lord, I know you love me. I know I've been called to your work. So somehow this is going to work for my good. Mm-hmm. So I know that, you know, as you all go through, and it's even more to the story, y'all. So I'm going to let them continue on. But there was the first child, and I think it was a little girl, right?
Correct.
And then there was a second child.
There was two more. Yeah.
Okay.
No, wait. It was, you know, she had one. And then the woman I had fathered my other daughter with.
Yeah, I know you all had another one together, a little boy. But then you had another little boy outside of the marriage. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you had, again, Abra, you had to keep holding on to that word of God. To hold on with that kind of faith, like, Lord, you told me.
You never leave me nor forsake me. And I know I'm not crazy. So I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
I know. But you know what? Another piece of that was this. Because when we talk to marriages and we counsel, it's important to start seeing some things manifest these promises. And I was seeing that. You know? I was seeing this man of God truly changing. You know, I see it, and I knew it wouldn't take overnight because I wasn't perfect. You know, there was things that I was going through, things that I had to deal with, but I actively seen him. You know, his walk was cleaning up. He was trying to do better. He was being active with the kids. You know, there was all these things. So when this second child popped up, it wasn't like, you know, he had been out doing these different things. It really was one of these situations. I call it like a fluke, but at the end of the day, we know it takes two to tango. So, you know, I was just, we had to muster, and we did, and we made a choice to press on. With the second child, we made a choice to continue to fight for now this blended family, because we had two mothers who were involved, and both actively felt as if I should be out of the picture and one of them should be there. So this was again another time where I was seeking God's faith and continuing to pray. Many times I had conversations that were very contrary to what we see now. And they were sure enough very much like, well, you know, it's okay, but you know, he's going to be with me, or you know, this is what he told me, or whatever the case may be. And I had to say, well, this is what I know. So this is what is going on. So, you know, there was a lot of things that were being dealt with. But the thing was this. I had to keep my cool. I had to be who God called me to be. And I continued to let the light of him shine on me. So it's always that thing. You know, we can get in positions. We can get in things where we choose. We always have a choice because he gives us an out. He gives us a choice to what we're going to do. And I decided I'm going to go this way and not go that way because I
come on now.
But he told me what he told me. So I said, I got to go this way. And we have two children. I can honestly say I have an active relationship with at least one of the mothers. The other one, she still has her own life, but I have no issues with calling and talking. At one point I went and I sat down with the mothers. We've gone out, we've had lunch, all of that, a working relationship. And my son is here today. I don't look at any children any differently. We love our babies. We have five children. And at the end of the day, God is good.
And see, that speaks so well, because oftentimes, you know, it's not easy because people put separation. Well, this isn't my child. This is their child. This isn't my. And they will bring separation, bring division in the home. And how can we have division in the home and think we're going to have unity in the body of Christ?
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. We have to be able to love, tear down the lies of division, tear down the things that would keep us apart, even the things that are sometimes hurtful. We have to allow God to come in and heal the hurt, heal the disappointment, so that you can walk in who you are. See, I always say that we are designed and we're purposed to be children of love. And deep down inside of us, that love is who we are. But many times we'll allow situations, people, outside influences to cause us not to love. To say, you know, well, how can you deal with her? No, I'm going to be who God purposed for me to be. I'm going to love her. I'm going to love the child like my own. I'm going to walk in the steps that God would have me to walk in. Yes. And love beyond. See, that's a love beyond your flesh, honey. That's a love beyond the natural. That is a supernatural love. And that's what we're all called into. But many times we will opt out. Because we'll opt out of that quick. And the fact that you chose to remain in obedience, to remain in faith to the word of God, to remain in obedience to the command of God to love and to press through and show love across the board. That's what the example is. And that again is, you know, that's that stuff that remains. That's that rock solid stuff. You know what, Lord, even if I can't, I'm depending on your heart within me, your strength within me. I'm going to bring it to the throne. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not going to move. I'm going to do and trust in your word. And this is just awesome. I know
I like to say it. I mean, this is a pure example of God's love.
Yes.
His unconditional love.
Yes.
And how much he loved him, especially as loving you. And how love conquers all, and love is so powerful and so strong. It covers a multitude. Multitude of... Woo! This is so powerful. This is a book. Let me tell you something. Well, this is a conference. This is a conference in Arizona.
Okay.
Where y'all are the main.
Yes.
Come on.
Call us. We coming.
There's some people out here right now. They already got their bags packed. They're already thinking about what's next already. And y'all are showing, man.
It's a love that remains.
Oh my God.
It's a love that overshadows faults. You're gonna say something.
Yeah, August the 14th is our installation service. We'll be installed as pastors of our church, but it's also our 17th wedding anniversary.
All right, amen. Come on.
We brought both of them together because we said, what better culmination of everything that God has done as entering this next phase of our lives, this next phase of service, and to walk together in agreement like never before. So. Mm-hmm. We're grateful, and we understand that it was the grace of God. We understand that, you know, I think that's why we're able to show so much grace to the people, to our ministry. We never judge anyone for a situation. When we do marriage counseling, the first thing we say to them is the only reason we're qualified to counsel you is because we've been to hell and back twice, and we still got the t-shirt, and we're still here.
Come on now.
Yes, absolutely. and again, it's about walking it out. Walk us up, because that was one of the questions. Many times in ministry or even in church period, people tend to not have grace. They tend to not show compassion. And the beauty in this ministry is that you all are able to walk through your testimony and show. You know, God will take those things that everybody thought was broken and everybody thought was destroyed.
Come on,
and
man.
He will mold them and fix them to get them to where it is that he purposed to be. Oftentimes, sometimes in church, people throw people away.
Yeah.
Because mistakes that they make. Right. But that's not what God purposes. God does not purpose for us to throw anybody away. All of us have messed up in one way or another. But what kind of love, what kind of grace are you going to extend to your brothers and sisters? Are you going to continue to point the fingers and talk down on them and judge them? Yeah. Or are you going to have a no judgment zone and love people through their process?
Yeah.
Because what Abra has shown is she loved you through your process. She knew God was processing. And the thing it was God who was processing you. And God told her, I'm gonna handle him. I'm gonna process him. Who he is now is not who he gonna be. You just stay where you are and trust me to process. And that's the message really to go across the church. You know, we have to love people right where they are and allow God to process them through. And no, God is gonna work on them. You gave your life to Christ. You trusted God, okay? You allow God to work in your marriage. Abra, you allow God to work in your husband.
Come on,
Nasa,
man.
You allow God to work in you. Yes. Hallelujah. And to allow God to do what he purposed to bring you all to where you are now. I was looking at members of your church giving y'all a shout out to my, hey, that's my pastor. That's what come I'm talking now. About. Give love. Them love, y'all. Give them love.
And I just want to say, man, that after talking to y'all, there's no such thing as a deal breaker.
No.
That's thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
There is no deal breaker for me.
Love conquers all. Love is the power. Oh my God. Hey, y'all got me over here feeling a little different a little bit. I can't. Ain't no deal breaker with my child. Come on now. I'm hooked to the hip. I'm a Siamese twin. You're gonna have to come with your best. And if you come with your best, I got a little more.
Years, if something like that go down, I told her if for some reason after 17 years she decided she wanna go and have fun, I told her just make sure he pay a bill. Cause I ain't going nowhere.
All right. Come on now.
I'm just playing, y'all. We ain't even thinking about that. But I'll tell you this. The grace of God that's on our life and who I am now, nothing will separate me from my love for God and who he is. He's number one in my life. And it doesn't matter nothing what this woman can do, say to me, I will never turn back and be the man that I was. Yes. I've left those things behind me. I press towards what's in front of me. And I understand that everything is a process and perfection doesn't come until we're with the Father. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you guys that, you know, we, in spite of everything, that's where that perseverance comes. That's where when you say you believe in the word of God, allow that. A lot of times we don't want that process. We want to skip the steps.
Come on.
You gotta just stick with it. You got to be with it because our time is not his time. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I had to realize. My time is not his. And if he told me something, that I need to listen, and I just ride it out. But in the meantime, I had to get strong in who God was calling me to be.
Yes.
And so I had to learn how to build my woman self up. So that's where my education came in, and this is where I came in teaching my children, and this is where I came in building what God was saying I was going to be, so that when this man of God was who God was calling him to be, I could compliment him. I wasn't ready at that time, but I'm ready.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on. You better. You better kiss her. You brother. Come on, somebody.
You know, I praise God for the both of you. They're asking what city you in there in Arizona, but where are you guys at?
What city?
Give them the city.
Phoenix. We're in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Yes. They're in Phoenix, Arizona. They're Living Kingdom United Millennial Church. This is my family. These are my people. I love them. Oh, I just love them. I just love y'all so much. And I was just so excited for them to share out with everyone their story, that testimony that speaks of the power of God, faith, the power of prayer, ladies. Come on, men and ladies, the power of prayer. Don't pray and then give up.
Come on now.
And this is another thing. Pray and listen. Get your answer from God. She prayed. God gave her an answer. Said, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all right in a minute. Don't go nowhere. It's going to be all right.
What it looks like.
And oftentimes, again, we don't want to suffer through the hardships. As soon as it gets hard, we're ready to go. But we have to suffer with him in order to reign with him.
Come on.
In other words, you suffer, you go through. And the end is that you're in a whole nother position and place where even the heart of God will be able to be expressed through you, because how that love got stretched, how that love got pressed, how that love got pushed, and even how God has pushed you, man of God, to allow you to see and value the blessing that God gave you in a wife. God, hallelujah.
There's
hallelujah.
A special anointing on both of you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that there's a special anointing on y'all to persevere, to be able to go higher. There's a whole new level that God wants to open up in your life.
Yes.
And God is doing something exceedingly and abundantly, even more God of need. It's almost like I see God like making a tapestry of your life. And your life is going to be so much of a testimony. Yes. You, the next 17 or 30 years of your life, God is going to increase you by leaps and bounds. Don't be surprised that God will bring in people who are going to need to hear. See, they need to hear your what was supposed to have been a deal breaker. They're going to hear something that God will use to be able to seal the deal. Come on, make it. So don't be surprised with that.
I did want to say this.
Go ahead.
I did want to say this, and the power of forgiveness. We can't forgive the power of forgiveness.
Yeah, we're
reminded that the scripture says that he forgave 7 times 77, 7 times 70. That we immediately began to look at those things. She never judged me. She didn't backbite me. She didn't beat me up about the things that I had done. When she forgave me, she forgave me, and she didn't bring it back up.
I'm telling
you, she is a unicorn.
Well, no, the thing is, she's operating in the honest love of God. Because the word says love doesn't keep records of wrong.
Yeah.
See, we sometimes pick and choose the portions of love we want to apply. Mm-hmm. But see, we have to apply it all. Yeah. Love keeps no records of wrong. It has to release. She had to release you as well as release herself so that you will be able to go forward. Had she not forgiven you and released you from it, you would have been held to it and she would have been held back to it. So it is power. Like you said, the power of forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness is releasing. Is releasing. You know, we have to have y'all on again because time went by too fast. It just went by too fast. So we're going to have y'all on again. We're going to have, you know, family. We're going to have to do this. Down at the bottom, you see they're giving I got to give the Gracefully Losing My Religion. Please get your book. If you haven't gotten it yet, get it. It's on Amazon. If you don't want to go on Amazon, you don't have an Amazon account, inbox us and we will get the book to you. I don't want to spend more time on that. We really do have to go. The link is in the comment section. But, you know, we're over our time. But this has been I wanted everyone to hear this. Go on.
If anybody wants to be able to be a sponsor to the Page of Speak, you're wide open to do so. If you want to sow a seed, then want to see the Page of Speak do even more, please inbox us. And we'll get the information to you.
If you were in Phoenix, Arizona,
check out
Living Kingdom United Millennial Church.
Where
pastors Nasser and Abra Ahmed, you will be blessed. It's my family, y'all. If you go to Phoenix, Arizona, but check them out.
I'm coming out there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right on our way. Hallelujah. We love you all. We love you all. We love you all. Next week, our show is Unintentional Hurt Still Hurts.
Ooh.
So, you know, check us out next week, next Thursday, same time, 9 p.m.
Share with somebody. Invite some friends.
Amen.
Out.
Oh, share, do hashtag replay. Someone needs to hear this testimony.
Yes.
It will bless marriages. It can bless you. Men and women of God, it can bless you. There's nothing that prayer, faith, trusting in the promises of God, listening to the promises of a God, is nothing you can't do. So don't say you can't, because with God, man, all things are possible.
All things.
We love you. I'm Pastor Stephanie Page. This is
Pastor Joe Nathan Lee.
And just love Abra and Nasa. We love you. Talk to you later. Until next time, this is the Pages Speak. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.